You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And in the NBA, the Celtics stay alive again. Boston took control from the start, never looked back, shooting over 50% from the field, forcing the Heat into 16 turnovers. That became 27 points, and having four players finish with at least 20 points in a wire-to-wire 110-97 victory in front of a loud, sold-out crowd at TD Garden. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, keeping hope alive.
Our back has been against the wall. Obviously, we didn't imagine being in this position, being down 3-0. But, you know, when adversity hits, you get to see, like, what a team is really made of. And I think now it's a series.
Well, there's ignorant belief. We do believe at all times that, you know, if we still have a chance, everybody's counting us out. You know, the way we're supposed to win, we're supposed to be done. Relax. You know, anything can happen.
All right, I need you to listen to this history here, Stephen A. So the Celtics moved halfway to the first 3-0 comeback in NBA history on Thursday. NBA teams are 0-150 in this situation. The Celtics became the 15th team to force a Game 6 after trailing 3-0 in the series. Neither of the previous two teams to do it went on to force a Game 7. But can it be done this time around? Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Yeah.
Before she asked the question, Kendrick Perkins, you know, usually she on the other side of the table. Now she's
on my side, taking up
all my space. You know what I'm saying? I mean, taking up all my spaces.
Perk, Kendrick Perkins, I mean,
I just say it, man. Can I have a side of my table to myself?
Perk,
I mean,
this is what they make me do. People come in. They're like, Molly, move. Molly, come back. I'm like, I'm just going to stay put. He sits there like a king, and I'm like, oh, sure, let me gather all my items and move as fast as I can.
I'm just saying, she got her space. I got mine. I mean, I don't understand why I got the.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is what men.
Go back to your closet in L.A.
It's not a closet.
But he could be hogging the makeup room.
I'm talking about the green screen room, not your house.
So he could be hogging the makeup room like he did the last time.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, and then had the nerve to tell me, Perk, you only got 2 minutes. Hurry up. Let's get up in here. I'm like, what? You just took 2 hours?
You certainly have me confused with Molly, because that is not me. And she don't need it. But she, for some reason, she take that long. And secondly, there wasn't any damn room in the makeup room because you were in there with your big self. Now let's move on.
Did you use your $700 eye cream? Burnt.
Yes.
Stephen A., will the Celtics become the first team to climb out of an 0-3 hole and win? Seriously, like, I feel like there's a shot.
In all seriousness... I'm going to say no, because I'm assuming Miami will win tomorrow. I believe that Boston would win Game 7 if they force a Game 7. I can't express enough how much love and admiration I got for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, especially Tatum. The brother is something special. He truly, truly is. And I'm not betting against them in a Game 7, even though they've lost a host of home games. They've lost 5 or more home games in consecutive postseasons. I mean, this is unbelievable, but it's what they've done. Yet and still, they find a way to win when it counts, because they're like 7-1, 5-1 in Game 7s, rather, with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on the team. I'm not counting, you know, you look at them and how they perform at home for the most part. Miami could go to Game 7 and beat them in Boston if you're taking into account Boston's recent history in the postseason on their home court. But I'm still not going to pick Miami to beat them in a Game 7. I think Miami's shot is tomorrow night. I'm going to predict that Miami's going to win that game, because if they don't, I believe the Boston Celtics are going to be the first team in NBA history to come back from an 0-3 deficit and win a series.
Well, way to straddle the fence. I get it. You answer one question and then you went on to talk about a Game 7. Nobody want to hear that. This is First Take.
The question is,
will the Celtics win the series? And the answer is hell no. And the reason is that they dug themselves in the 0-3 hole and now they're having to fight back. I don't see them beating the Miami Heat 4 times, okay? And here's the problem that I have with the Boston Celtics. I believe that Jason Tatum is a superstar. I believe that Jaylen Brown is a star. But the problem I have with them is that Jason Tatum goes to his post-game interview, and he's like, everybody counting us out. Well, duh. We wasn't the reason. We're not the reason that you're down 3-2. We wasn't the reason that you was down 0-3. What were we supposed to say? Good job? Keep up the good work? No, that's not how it happens.
All right, Bernie Mac. Go ahead.
So what? You like that, though, huh? You did like that.
I know you did.
You're doing a good job. Right.
Keep up the good work.
But what I'm saying is this. I believe that I kept saying this, and I said this last series because I thought Philadelphia was going to close them out in game six, which they should have. The Celtics play around with fire too much. And just like them old people used to tell us when we were young, boy, don't touch that oven, you're going to get burnt. All of a sudden, they're going to get burnt, and I believe this is the time. The Heat is going to win this series. I think the Celtics dug themselves in too deep of a hole. I applaud them a little bit for fighting and keeping this series alive and winning two games, but it's nowhere in hell the Miami Heat are losing four games in a row. No way.
Okay.
All right. So to be clear, you're both
I'm picking Miami to win game six.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Who should Jokic fear more, Tatum and the Celtics or Butler and the Heat?
I'd say the Celtics. Listen, Robert Williams is a damn good defender.
Mm-hmm.
Al Horford, albeit older, very experienced, veteran, starving for a championship. LeBron has ruined many occasions for him to have a shot at the championship. And last year, the Golden State Warriors did it to him. Al Horford is as hungry as they come, but he's older, and obviously both are smaller than Jokic. So Jokic, I anticipate, would have a big series doing what he does and bringing to the table what he brings to the table. But those role players that helped Denver along, and I shouldn't call Jamal Murray a role player because I think he's a star in this league, and I believe in that brother. But when you look at the Boston Celtics and their ability to guard, when they prioritize playing defense, they match up very well with Denver, as far as I'm concerned. And they can cause a lot of problems on both ends of the court because Denver's going to have a problem dealing with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown if Boston ends up advancing to the NBA Finals. Make no mistake about that. I look at the offense of the Miami Heat. Although they played exceptionally well for most of this postseason, it was an aberration based off of what we saw for the whole regular season when they only weigh and when they average a league worth 109 points a game. I'm just looking at them and saying, offensively, I don't think they have enough to beat Denver in the NBA Finals. But I damn sure believe Boston has enough. So I would tell you that Boston is the answer to that question.
Kirk, tougher matchup.
Well, first of all, no one is stopping Jokic. I don't give a damn if it's the Celtics or the Heat. I'm leaning more towards the Celtics, but I'm going to say this real quick. We have to quit disrespecting the Heat. And I'm not talking about you, Stephen A., and I'm not talking about you, Molly. Hey, I'm not even talking about this topic. I'm talking about the fact that people were saying and are saying that if the Heat go to the NBA Finals, that it will be a sweep or it will be a gentleman sweep, meaning the game would end in five. This Heat team is here for a reason. They knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks. They got past a tough New York Knicks team, and they're on the verge of beating the Boston Celtics. Last time I checked, the Celtics and the Bucks both had the best record in the league for us in the regular season. Those were the top two teams. Those were the heavy favorites. Now, you look at the Miami Heat, and again, we're just getting put on notice. They didn't have a lot of household names coming into this series, but they got guys that then put the world on notice. A guy like Caleb Martin, who has been a flat-out baller, who I believe that if this series ends tomorrow night, he's going to win the MVP of the Eastern Conference, in my opinion. He's been that spectacular. And I don't see how you can keep it away from him as far as him being consistent. So if I'm the Nuggets, I'm not picking and choosing. I'm just embracing the moment, and I'm getting ready for the NBA Finals because the NBA Finals in itself is a moment that you have to get mentally ready for when it's your first time.
All right, we have to go to break. I need a yes or no answer here. Actually, it's not a yes or no question. Good try, Molly. I need a name here, one name, one word. Stephen A., who do you think's the hungriest player left in this series?
Hungriest player to me is probably Al Horford.
Mm. Perk, who do you have?
I'm going with Jimmy Butler.
All right, let's leave it there.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, we're all awake today. Let's go, Friday, baby! And what happens in Vegas is not staying in Vegas. It's not staying in New York either. The Raiders star receiver Davante Adams made headlines last week after making comments to The Ringer about not seeing eye to eye with the Raiders front office on what's best for the team. But now Adams is saying his quotes are being misconstrued. Let's take a listen to that sound.
Just based off of what they heard about me, the respect they have for things I've done on the field, and, you know, I try to give them that respect back. And obviously sometimes things get said and taken out of context, like I said. And I'm here to try to win a Super Bowl like everybody else is on their team. So that's really my only focus. I'm not really – the thing is with me, and I'm unapologetically me. You know, at the end of the day, I truly do not care what people have to say. So when I'm clearing things up and talking about this stuff, a lot of times it's me protecting other people that were involved. So y'all can do that if you're that bored. Like, go play Monopoly or something.
Okay, let's just all take a moment for ourselves, for Devontae. Let's just all get it together. Okay, I just want to add this, though. Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels did say he had no problem with Devontae speaking out because he's earned it. And Mike T, I want to start with you. Do you have a problem with star athletes airing out their grievances publicly?
Yes, there's a time and a place, and Davante Adams is too smart and too much of a veteran. Go see the head coach. Go see the GM, Dave Ziegler, Josh McDaniels. Whatever you want to say, I have no problem with that. My door was always open. We could have our grievances, and we're always going to do what's best for the organization and have very difficult conversations. Coach Parcells used to say, without confrontation, we couldn't have progress. But don't do it publicly. Don't air your dirty laundry. This is family business. It's about us as an organization. So there's a time, there's a place. What Davante Adams did was the right message. It was the wrong context, the wrong place.
No, absolutely not. You're wrong. Davante Adams has earned the right to say how he feels. He basically said, this is not what I signed up for. Like, what I came here, why I came here, the players, everything, this is a different situation. He basically said he was invited to Oakland, to Vegas, and he said, who all is going to be there? And I said, Derek Carr. He's like, cool, bet, I'm going. And now a year later, the team is different. The philosophy is different. How they're handling things is different. So I was with Davante Adams. I defended Davante Adams when he spoke out because as a vet, as the guy, he has earned the right to say how he feels. Sure. Understand that management is always going to say, oh, keep that stuff in-house. But we want guys to actually, he's saying, I'm unapologetically me. I love that because we want our stars to actually not give us. You mentioned Dak Prescott earlier, right? He don't say anything. Well, Davante said something. He said how he felt, Michael. He said how he felt. What I have an issue with is unapologetically me, Davante, now saying, ugh, you media people just twisted my words. I mean, say it with your chest. You said it. You said what you said. Just own it. That's my only issue with Davante right now. Don't put it on the media. Like, I just want players to say what they think and then own it. Don't backtrack. Don't try to blame us, because what he said was right. Because this is not the same team and the same philosophy and the same offseason approach. How they're talking, how the Raiders are talking now than they did a year ago. Last year, they seemed to be all into winning. Right. Now it's a little different.
So K-Bart, here's what I would say.
Talk to me not like a GM.
Here's the reality of it. The bottom line is this.
Oh, my goodness.
If I'm Devontae Adams, when I'm talking publicly about not liking it here, your audience is the 31 other teams. And if I'm another head coach or I'm another GM.
No, hold on.
Because
he's Devontae Adams.
Right, but what I'm saying
is, the comments are not going to stop you from wanting Devontae Adams.
No, if I'm another team that's looking for a receiver, like the New England Patriots or some other team, and now all of a sudden I see that when we hit a bump in the road, he's going to go public, all I'm thinking internally is he going to do the same with us?
Mm-hmm. I just like when you called him Michael. You went government name.
Michael.
Only my mom calls me Michael when she gets mad.
Steven, what's going on over here? What's all this emotion?
Just being emotional right now because, you know, it's just a touching thing when someone you adore so much makes you so proud. I mean, to hear Kimberly Martin come out and to say what she said with the vibrance that she said it with, it just touched my heart because she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. And I had a problem. And I had a problem with Devontae too, backtracking. You understand? Blaming the media. Yo, dog, you said what you said, and he was right in saying what he said. He came there to play with Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr, 63-79 as a starter. 6-9 last season, 14 interceptions. You know, they ain't won no playoff game with him as the starting quarterback. You know, I mean.
At least he stays healthy.
I understand he does stay healthy, but he don't win in the postseason. Okay, my point is he's not a scrub, but you got to do more in the postseason. That's where it counts. But the bottom line is y'all told Devontae Adams, come here. Okay, now, Coach Mike T, listen to this. Devontae Adams. Who's first in TDs in TD catches over the last 3 years?
Devontae Adams.
43. Who's tied for first with Stephon Diggs for receptions?
Devontae Adams.
It's 300. You like your numbers. You like your receipts, right?
Yeah.
It's 338, right? I'm sorry. Who's second in the league in receiving yards in the last three seasons?
That would be Devontae Adams.
Uh-huh, behind Justin Jefferson. So what I'm trying to say to you is, no, hold on, Coach. Hold on, Mike T, General Manager Mike
GM.
T, Mr. CIA. You talked to me a little while early about receipts.
Uh-huh.
I just gave them to you.
Uh-huh.
The fact of the matter is, when you talk about TDs, when you talk about receptions, when you talk about receiving yards, this brother is number one or number two in all three categories. He is clearly considered one or 1A in the entire NFL. And he came to your organization showing faith in you. Mm-hmm. So to me, when Devontae Adams said what he originally said, he's saying, yo, I didn't sign up for this. What y'all promised me ain't what y'all necessarily doing. Now, what probably happened is that they called them into the office or whatever, which
like
is what
Mike.
You're talking about. Somebody like Mike.
Yeah.
Now here's what I would say to you. Now, here's what I would say to you before I go. I definitely understand what you're saying. You know, when you that dude, you do have to toe a line.
Because you're not Prescott?
No, because you have to speak for yourself, not just for yourself, but for everybody. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you just give gratuitous, quotable nonsense every single day. I mean, say something.
And I'm all about saying something about a lot of different topics. But now, instead of being the GM, let's be the agent. And if the object of the exercise is to get out of this horrendous situation that we now.
Why are you bringing the agent in? Why are you bringing the agent in?
Because I'm giving you the inverse of why he should have spoken publicly, which is this. If the object of the exercise is to get out of Vegas because you're not happy there, if I was representing Devontae Adams, I would say, look, let me go in and carry your water.
Hold on.
If you
hold on. Can we hold on for a second?
Wait, we don't need to inflate.
No. I think you're reading this wrong. That man was in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He in Vegas now.
Right, but.
No. Trust me, his quality of life, he's good. It ain't about him wanting to leave Vegas. It's about him wanting them to live up to what they promised them they would be. That's what he wants.
And if that's the case, Stephen A., the best way to do that is to go behind closed doors and say, hey, here's A, B, and C. We need to fix it. By calling your boss out publicly, the object of the exercise no longer is fixing the problem. You are inflaming it.
Well, why do some coaches say things publicly? To send a message, right?
But the coach is in charge. Like,
it's this is professional sports. The coach can be in charge, but when you got a star player who produces for you, they do have some cachet.
Absolutely. Okay? So I'm point with that.
So what he's saying is, excuse me, Josh McDaniels, what's up? Who has not lived up to expectations.
100% agree. But if you're trying to solve the problem, close the door and let's hash it out.
Well, maybe the problem is he's been behind closed doors too damn long. Josh McDaniels, get your behind out here on public stage like the rest of us. Not just for damn press conferences after post games. Nah, get your behind out here front and center with the rest of you. You making all the decisions, right? You the man about town, right? In a no state income tax state like Nevada with the strip right down the block, right? You that dude, right? So, but when we lose, it's us. But you get to give some gratuitous quote you learned from Belichick and go home. Hell no. Get your ass right here with the rest of us. Show up and be accountable. That's what he said. What's wrong with that?
I don't think he's ducked any interviews.
I need a tissue. Just seeing Stephen A. just quiet you is just so...
Come on now. We ain't let Josh McDaniels off the hook now. And that man's had opportunities. We've been sitting up there glossing over Josh McDaniels. No, he has not lived up to expectations as a head coach. I know what a great offensive coordinator he was. Mm-hmm. I know the man knows football backwards and forwards. But his results have been paltry. He has not shown up. Hell with that. Front and center. Show up.
And I don't think he's walked away from those responsibilities.
Listen, I'm with you. Don't tell anyone outside the family what you're thinking. I'm with the Corleones. That's just how I live my life. Right?
And we don't need tissues on the side of the table.
Really?
Yeah.
I can comment about that, but I won't be
honest. What do I say publicly?
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying
nothing.
I'm saying sometimes
you should have.
I'm saying sometimes you should have.
No.
I'm saying sometimes you should have.
It's not my style.
There's a lot that I don't say.
I don't want to get the phone walking back.
Friday.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I have been waiting for years for this right now. Joining me now are two of the best fighters on the planet Earth. Welterweight champions Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence Jr. They've announced that they'll fight one another for the undisputed welterweight crown July 29th in Las Vegas. Errol Spence Jr., Terrence Crawford, welcome to First Take. Errol, let's start with you here. What the hell took this fight so long to happen? We've been waiting years for this. How excited are you about it, and why did it take so long, Errol?
I mean, great things take time. I mean, we both were going through, you know, negotiations and things, but we're here now. So all this stuff in the past, just the present, we're here. We fighting each other. May the best man win. I feel like this is the best fight, welterweight fight of the last probably 40 years. This is the fight of the decade. The best versus the best.
Terrence Crawford, how do you feel about the fact that the fight is finally here? We know how great you are.
39-0 in your career with about 30 KOs. We know how elite you are. We know how elite Errol is. We know you've been wanting this for a long time, Terrence. How difficult has it been to wait for this fight, and how are you feeling now that it's here?
Oh, it's been very difficult, as you know. It's been frustrating, but I'm excited. I'm happy. You know, the fans is happy. Everybody's happy. You know, we here now. You know, and I'm going to show the world why I'm the best fighter on the planet. And everybody need to tune in July 29th to watch me, Errol Spence, go out there and put on a tremendous show.
Errol Spence, a lot of people look at you and they've said you've been the natural welterweight. A matter of fact, people have wondered whether or not you was going up to junior middleweight on several occasions because you were considered the bigger guy. They've been waiting for this fight for a long time, but they felt, at least at some point years ago, that Terrence might have been a little bit smaller, or too small for you because he was coming up from the junior welterweight division. Want to know your thoughts about what you think of Terrence Crawford and why and how do you think you're going to win this fight?
I'm a man of my word. Like I said, people thought I was going to move up, but like I told him when we encountered each other in Oklahoma, I said, I'm going to get these belts on my side, and I'm going to come take yours. And, you know, this is where we at now, and I stood on that. Even if it was leaving me standing out the ring a whole year, they trying to get me to fight other people, this is the fight I wanted. So I stuck to my guns. It was like, I'm not fighting until I fight Terrence Crawford, so my team got it going. With me, I feel like my style is basically, you know, I'm not gonna say perfect, but it's very good. I got the jab, you know. I feel like I might be the stronger opponent. Great body shots. He has great talent, great skills, but I feel like my ability, my will, and my all around just being the better fighter, I'm gonna beat him.
Terrence, he just finished saying that he wanted to be a man of his word, that he promised you before he moved on from the welterweight division, if that were to ever occur, that he was going to get those three belts and come and then take yours. First, how do you feel
about him? I promised the fans. My bad.
You promised the fans. How do you feel about him having made that promise and lived up to that promise? And what do you think you're going to do to Errol Spence Jr. July 29th?
Well, I love it. You know what I mean? Like I said, you know, I've been wanting this fight. Everybody been knowing I've been wanting this fight. He said he was going to take the easy route and go, you know, handle what he had to handle. And he did that. So now, you know, he got to live up to his word and coming to take this belt. You know, the last one is always the hardest one. And I assure you, it won't be like none of the other fights. You know, he believe in his style. I believe in my style. You know, it's going to be a great fight. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Terrence, a lot of us have been talking about Errol for years because obviously he's undefeated and he's a champion. He's got three belts. We know how great he is. Even though we all recognize that you are great, there have been times when you and I have run across one another, when I've seen you talking to other people, and you seem to wear this belief on your shoulders, on your sleeves, that cats don't believe in me as much as they should. Do you feel this fight is like career defining for you? You've got to win this fight in spectacular fashion for you to get the respect you believe that you deserve?
Well, it's always like that. Every fight is you know, like that for me. You know, every fight is meaningful. Every fight is, you know, I need to win this fight. And I'm, you know, 100% certain Errol feel the same. So, you know, there's a lot riding on this fight. You know, this is the biggest fight in boxing in decades, you know. So, you know, of course, I want to go out there and put on a tremendous show and win in spectacular fashion. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. I'm ready to go next week if it was need be, you know. But at the same time, everything, you know, has its time. The sun shine on everybody, and, you know, the sun going to shine on me July 29th.
I'll throw this question out to both y'all, and Errol, I'll ask you first. We talk about the welterweight division here. You talked about, Errol, you just said something, Errol, a few minutes ago when you talked about this being maybe the greatest fight in the welterweight division in the last 40 years or something. Well, let me remind you of some of those fights. We got Sugar Ray Leonard versus Tommy the Hitman Hearns. We had Hearns versus Duran, Roberto Duran. We had somebody, even though Pepino Cuevas ain't on that level, he was still good and he was a champion until Hearns put him to sleep in two rounds. We saw Alexis Oguelo versus Aaron Pryor. We've seen a whole bunch of great welterweight
And this fight up there with all of them.
Definitely.
When people talk about this fight, they're going to say Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns. They're going to say Alessio Guerrero, all that. This fight up there with all of them.
Where I was going was, it is right now on paper. But when you get in that ring, two undefeated fighters that's capable of knocking you out are going up against one another. So give us a taste of what we should expect to see July 29th based on the history that I just threw your way.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You see Terrence Crawford. You see his body of work. You see my body of work when I get in the ring. Yeah, everybody already know. As soon as I get in the ring, I'm stepping. And I expect him to step too. We're going to put on a great show and a great performance. This is a throwback fight for me. I feel like this is a throwback fight.
Do you feel you need a knockout in this fight to send the kind of message you want to send to the public about how great you are as a champion? Errol?
Not necessarily need a knockout, but it's something that, you know, if it happens, I definitely oblige to it. But if I do get the knockout, that'd be great. If I don't, hey, that's cool too, as long as I get the victory. And I feel like watching my fights, all my fights are exciting. So it's definitely going to be an exciting fight, action-packed fight. And I'm willing to put on a great show, great performance.
Terrence, is that where you are as well? A win is a win? Or do you feel like you need a knockout in order to send the kind of message you want to send to boxing fans everywhere about how elite you truly are?
Well, everybody know my slogan, you know, get the job done however it come, you know. But if I get them hurt, I'm going for the knockout. You know, I don't have 100% ratio in knockouts in the welterweight division for nothing. I feel like ever since I moved up, I became meaner, stronger. I'm punching harder. So, of course, you know, if the knockout come, now I put a stamp on all the talks, you know, no debate, you know. But all in all, the object is get the victory.
Las Vegas, Nevada, July 29th, Errol Spence Jr., three belt champion, going up against Terrence Crawford. The fight of the year, maybe the fight of the decade, if not longer. We shall see. Errol Spence Jr., Terrence Crawford, appreciate both of y'all, man. Good luck. I'll see y'all in a couple of months.
Appreciate it.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
100.
The Lakers are done. My time in L.A. is done. Maybe J.J. Redick is all right with not having a tan. But damn it, I like the sunshine.
I, for one, am not shocked that Stephen A. has contradicted himself.
Oh, he's all over the map.
The city of Buffalo deserves a Super Bowl.
No, they don't. It's Canada. Let's go, Jets.
You talk a lot, JJ.
I talk a lot.
They are 6-1 in elimination games the last 2 years.
I'm sorry. Both JJ and I are getting this.
Well,
it's
Doug,
so strange
Doug,
the way you take Doug, notes.
Like, what did you just write?
You and Stephen A. think I make way more money than I do. I mean, you're not making peanuts.
More money, more problems.
What's up with the shirt being open?
I don't have to wear it like the old person that you are.
But if you want for the rest of the show, I will wear it like this.
I don't know how I can get this tie right.
Windsor.
I got an associate's degree, man. I can barely tie my shoes.
This is why I hate you, Bart. I can show a little chest. It's freshly shaved.
A little too much information.
You speak Spanish?
You can say two words.
I see.
Enough with the flex schedule. Sunday, 1 o'clock. Now we got to flex the Amazon. Give me a hug.
You're right.
don't come here. Don't come here.
Get over here. Get over here.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we do have fun on this show.
Yes, we do.
We do have fun. It was a great week. All right, guys. Still more to go, though. To the NFL we go. Several teams' OTAs underway, including the Jets, where they got a new-look offense. That bad man Aaron Rodgers leading the way. Now, after a minor calf strain kept the star QB out of practice, Rodgers had a message for Jets fans everywhere, especially one fan at ESPN in particular.
You know, I watch Get Up. I love Mike Greenberg. That's my guy. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on television on Wednesday. Very concerned about your calf. What can you tell America, Jets Nation, Mike Greenberg? How's the calf? You okay?
Yeah, just tell him all. Just relax a little bit. I had a little stiffness, a little tightness, and just decided it wasn't worth it to push it at all. But I'll be back out there pretty soon.
All right, shout to our guy Adam Schein, having on Rodgers. Let's take a look now at the Jets' title odds over the last couple months. On March 7th, before the initial conversations with Aaron Rodgers in New York, had 30-1 odds to win it. And once the trade was completed, New York's odds dropped to 14-1. That's the sixth shortest odds in the NFL. Okay, so Stephen, here's the deal. I know the Knicks are your team, right? And that's really important to you. But as being a native New Yorker, both of you guys are, so great people to ask, what would be a bigger deal to the city of New York? Would it be, no, let me finish, I'm serious. Would it be the Knicks winning a title or the Jets? The New York, wait, let me finish. The New York Jets winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, please, it's the Knicks. Make no mistake about it. That's the Knicks. And by the way, props to Adam Schein, not just for the Aaron Rodgers interview, but he does a great, great job on SiriusXM. He really does. You know, props to Adam Schein. But let me say this to you, okay? Look, I understand football is king.
Thank you. Really?
You. Really? That's what we're doing?
Thank you.
First of all, where do the New York Jets play?
Sir.
Stephen, where are they going to play in the city? You know how expensive real estate is?
Hey, this is the NFL. Okay, we don't hear that. No. Let me tell y'all something right now. You understand how New York Knicks fans and stuff? The Jets have resigned themselves to who they are. You got to remember.
You are literally proving my point, but I'm going to let you go.
1969, I understand. Last time Joe Namath with tight shorts on, called Broadway Joe, getting a tan and stuff like that, got all the commercials. Y'all ain't been relevant since. You have been about 3 or 4 AFC championship games. So I know you're knocking on the door. You have not suffered. The way that New York Knicks fans have suffered. It's a different animal right here. Let me tell you something right now. 1973.
You're talking about 1969 versus 1973. I said
the New York Knicks have suffered more. The Jets have resigned themselves, football, the parody, and all of this other stuff. Let me tell you something. They're getting 4 AFC championship games. Bill Parcells had them knocking on the door, all right? Rex Ryan had them knocking on the door. They couldn't get over the hump, the butt fumble, and all of this other stuff.
Thank you. Once again, you are proving my point.
Go ahead.
Jets literally have something in their history called the butt fumble.
That's right.
The Jets winning a Super Bowl, hear me when I say this, Steven.
Right.
There will be nothing bigger than that.
We're going to have a parade by the swamp.
Literally, in the Get Up studio, that is where we will have the parade. Because Mike Greenberg might just die in
front of heaven.
You don't understand.
They got to get drunk. Steven. They got to get drunk at tailgate parties at Jets games to have the kind of fire that they have when the New York Knicks are playing. I'm telling you something right now. You don't understand.
First of all, please don't try to school me on New York.
You both grew up here.
Okay.
I
was at the game where the poster. I can't help that you are older.
Excuse me.
Age, wisdom, and looks, I must say, I'm doing quite fine. But the point that I'm trying to make to you, Kimberly, is when we talk about the New York. Do you see the people outside the garden? What if you see New York Jets fans like that?
But we just watched the Knicks. Were they not in the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Thank you. When was the last time the Jets were in the playoffs?
I understand that.
Exactly.
I understand that.
So, but you're making my point. You talk about a franchise. Like, these fans are so beaten down.
They're divided.
They.
You got Jets fans, Giants fans.
Okay. That's
it's only the Knicks.
Fine. I'm with you. I hear you. But what it would mean to this franchise, what it means to Jets fans to watch this team that has literally been in purgatory forever.
If everybody was Fireman Ed, that would be.
Can I say one thing, though, Kimberly?
Let me say one thing.
We've
got to eradicate the borough of Staten Island, though. Because the borough of Staten Island, you know, it's five boroughs, but four boroughs of Staten Island.
Can I say one
thing?
They
think a little different. They might be with the Jets.
I know I'm unbiased because I'm a Giants fan, but the Jets are like the little brother team.
Yes.
And the Knicks are the heritage team.
I get it. But that's what is more – that would be the most shocking thing ever if Aaron Rodgers came here and won a Super Bowl. That would literally set New York on fire in a good way.
I'm not saying it wouldn't. Stay with me. Please stay with me.
No, I get it. I'm not saying, listen, I get it. All of New York.
Hold on. Hold on. Stay with me. I'm not saying that they wouldn't be like that. What I'm saying to you is that those small cadre of Jets fans.
Small cadre.
Let me just. Compared to the Knicks in this city, you might have to turn in your borough card. You might have to turn in your borough card. I mean, I can't believe you don't understand this.
Some guy from Queens is not telling me I got to turn in my borough card.
Where are you from?
Born in the Bronx.
Brooklyn.
Born in the Bronx.
Born in the Bronx.
And I claim
Queens.
Miss Congestion. That'll be your new nickname. Do you get anywhere in Brooklyn? You can't drive a block. It takes about 2 hours to get 2 blocks.
You think
about 2 hours to get 2 blocks.
Mike T, who's right?
Please.
Mike T, who's right? Mike T.
I know.
The Jets.
Yo, stop.
Oh,
stop. Get out of here.
Of course he's going the Jets. And why did I even ask the NFL guy?
Where's he from? Where's he from?
I was born in New York, Cauth City.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, the Bronx.
He's from the Bronx, too.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You got me
Mike
in my
T's Marine, yeah. New York. Look at that.
I didn't know that about you.
PS1.
Should turn your borough call.
PS178.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I am shocked. You have built your credibility this show. In 2 hours, you've erased a decade of cynicism. This is a big day for you.
I didn't know you grew up in New York either.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I always think of you as Florida.
Yeah, because of the palatial estate in Boca. Yeah, exactly.
I was in Boston. So, look. We haven't made the playoffs since 2010. We know that. But when they win the title, and it could be this year with Aaron Rodgers, it will transform.
Oh, please.
Since 1969. Please. I get approached all the time by Jets fans. I am telling you, it runs deep.
Let me ask you this. More Giants fans or Jets fans in New York City?
I think there may be more Giant fans, but the Jet fans are more vocal.
You're right.
They don't get to the
Stephen
city.
Stephen A.
Don't get to the city.
You won the debate.
Of course I did. They in the burbs. You turn in your borough call. You turn in your borough call.
Kimberly, you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
High fly ball, right field deep. Canseco back to the track. Look it up. It is off his head, it looked like. And over the top. A home run.
It's him right there. He goes over the top. Jose, you've hit a lot of home runs. You did a lot of great things, but that shot will live forever.
Oh, it's the 30-year anniversary of that infamous blooper. So I got Kmart S.A. Tannenbaum with me here, guys. A favorite sports blooper all time. Ladies first.
It's got to be poor Josh Norman getting thrown out the stadium by Derrick Henry. Honestly, the way that man flew, Derrick Henry just stiff-armed him into oblivion. That will always live rent-free in my head.
Okay, I
get it.
That was a good one.
That is the kind of play that makes it hard for you to go home. That is the kind of play. That is the kind of play that makes it hard for you to go home with your woman. It is.
All right. Mike D, what do you have?
Easy. Our man, Dan Orlovsky. Anytime he's wrong in an argument, there's only one play to
that's
pull out.
That's messed up.
You just go by what you see.
That's messed up.
It's in the bullpen, and when necessary, you have to pull that out.
Wow. I know.
I
think he made a business decision there. It was just too much to get hit. He didn't want to get hit. I'm sorry, y'all. For me, it's the butt fumble. I mean, when you run into somebody's backside with your face.
Hold on. I was there.
That's bad.
It really took him out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Bye, everybody. We'll see. I will be here Monday, Memorial Day.
Your face. That is bad.